Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler,
And
owner of
to
Who Wants to Hoop Forever,
Oh my gosh, is
the
that
winning bracket.
Tyler, we are 7 seconds into this podcast. Are you serious? Is this how we're
Winning
starting?
bracket on the Sideline Judgment NCAA tournament bracket pool. Just saying. All
Okay.
right, continue the
If
podcast.
no, you know what? Now that you went with that, raise your hand, listeners, go ahead and raise your hand as well. Raise your hand if you thought Villanova was a team that was going to make it out of the first round the year they won the national championship. For those of you that can't see my hand all the way up in the sky and Tyler's square down next to his side, that's exactly what's happening. All right, here we go.
At least I'm not crazy and thought Duke was going to win a national
Okay.
title like an idiot.
Let's stop right here. All right, hold on, pause. Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we're going to be talking about, please leave that in. Today we're going to be talking about the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament. I apologize if my voice is a little bit different. I am a bit under the weather, but c'est la vie. The show must go on. Before we begin any
Ah,
of
I see
that,
that's French because you're doing Beauty and the Beast.
see what I did there? Oui, monsieur. Oui, monsieur. Before we do any tournament talking, we need to pour one out, light up a cigar, and in the military they do like the 12 shots, right? They do the
Yeah,
and give the
12,
give our 12
I believe.
shots into the sky for the Alliance of American Football and our Orlando Apollos. Listeners, Tyler's turned on the light on his cell phone and is shining it into the camera on Skype so I can see. RIP to the AAF. It was a wonderful 7 weeks. By default, our Orlando Apollos are crown champions at 7-1. It was a moment, Tyler. It was a fleeting moment, but a moment nonetheless. So, very
Yeah,
sad.
but it sucks because the league was actually doing pretty well, and
Yeah.
like it kind of closed for reasons that aren't really related to its like success. Like
Right.
apparently one of the stakeholders just up and took out their money,
Yeah.
one of the co-founders, and it sucks. And I mean, we don't get to see Steve Spurrier coaching again, and that's really what I cared about,
Yeah.
so.
All I cared about was Steve Spurrier dropping 45 points on teams and stuff. I
Yeah,
do want to say some good has come out of this. There have been a few players from the American that have gone on to sign NFL contracts for training camp and such, including our Orlando Apollo's very own Garrett Gilbert,
QB1, baby.
QB1, who has signed for the Cleveland Browns. You heard it here first. He's starting over Baker. You heard it here first.
Right here. Would not be, you know who won't be opposed? This podcast.
This podcast at all. No, but he is coming in as the third quarterback that they need for OTAs and mini camp and training camp. And he is expected to compete with Drew Stanton to be Baker's backup.
And
So.
it's kind of what's unfortunate about it is that it's kind of sad is that like that is exactly what the AAF was designed to do.
Exactly.
Be a feeder system to the NFL for molding the younger guys or molding the older guys that didn't really get fair shots and like giving them the best of the best players. And it kind of is proof of concept that it kind of would have worked.
Yeah, that it
Because who would have
wasn't.
signed Garrett Gilbert had he not been had a great season for the Apollos?
Had he not played for Steve Spurrier, like it's a thing where the whole point of, but people forget that the whole point of this league was not to rival the NFL. It was to work with the NFL, you know. And actually, before they went under, there were rumors that the NFL was willing to. There were negotiations with the NFL to let practice players play on those teams to kind of give them more exposure and more reps and stuff, which would have just been phenomenal in my opinion. But it is what it is. RIP to the American. And then our other quick hits is LeBron James has missed the finals for the first time since I want to say 2006, 5 or 6.
I wouldn't know.
Has
A
missed the
long
playoffs.
time.
Missed the playoffs. Sorry, I said finals. I meant playoffs. Crazy, right?
I mean, that's just insane. Like, it's kind of weird. It's that what's the weirder part about it that he actually did miss them, or that it's taken so long for him to miss the playoffs?
I think it's that it's taken so long to miss the playoffs, because with the exception of the 4 years in Miami, he's never really had a team that can compete on his level, and this is the but he's always been able to drag them to at least the playoffs, and then in the Eastern, and then those Cleveland teams post Miami to the finals every single year, which is incredible. That's why we always said that like LeBron and anyone is worth 50 wins, you know. So
that's true,
but it's different.
Apparently not, but
apparently not. Yeah, so it's different in the West. Excuse me, different in the West, and it's also very different in, with younger players and not as experienced players like the Lakers have now. So that's just something that we had to go ahead and talk about. All right, let's go ahead and jump on into our NCAA tournament review. Let's go and talk about the Gators first. The Gators had a wonderful first round game against Nevada. We won 70-61, but the score kind of does Nevada a little bit better than what it was. We were up, I think it was 17, 18 points at one point, and then Nevada came back and made it like a 4-point game, and then we took off again, and we're able to put some more points on the board. But Florida dominated that first round game against Nevada.
I mean, I would agree. Like, I felt like the score does them a little bit of justice. Yeah. Nevada a little bit of props that, like, that was, Florida was in control for most of that game. It got a little close, kind of a little late second half, but like, I wasn't really necessarily too worried about it, because like, that's Nevada's MO about playing. Like, they get down and they just score a lot of points. They have a great scoring offense.
Right.
But their defense wasn't very good, and our defense was able to lock it down, and it was just a good matchup for us.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
I agree. We then moved on to play Michigan in the second round, where we lost 64-49. And if we're being honest, the first half was more competitive. Second half was horrible. We couldn't buy a shot. It was horrible. And Kayvon Allen didn't even get on the bus.
He probably was just like, my last game was the Wolfpack game, and he just didn't even want to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Which is an unfortunate way for him to end his Florida career, but it is what it is.
Correct.
Okay, so, Tyler, here's how I'm going to do this. I want to ask you your favorite game from the tournament, and we're going to go round by round, our favorite game from the tournament, and then you also get a favorite moment from each round, completely separate from the game. You know?
Oh, boy. All right, okay. Well, let's think. Give me, like, I didn't know we were doing this. So give me, okay, like,
let me,
2 seconds.
I'll go
first. You have yours?
My favorite moment from the first round was Ja Morant from Murray State going for a triple-double against Marquette, a team that had a phenomenal season in the Big East and was a contender to make it to the second weekend. But Ja Morant literally put on a clinic and proved to everyone why he's the projected number 2 overall draft pick in this year's draft. Ja Morant balled. He had something like 17, 16, and 12. Some crazy statistic. He did everything on that floor. It was incredible. He was responsible for like something like 47, 48 of Murray State's 83 points. It was crazy.
Yeah. That was a big one. That was a big one. I think my favorite, let's see, my favorite game was probably the Auburn New Mexico State game.
Good shot.
Where New Mexico State could have won if they made all three of their last three free throws. But they ended up missing two of them and being down. Like, it was just an incredible, like, thing to watch. And we talked about it in the last episode, because it had just happened when we started recording.
Exactly.
But yes. In the first round, that was still it's not only was it close, it was such a crazy ending. Like, New Mexico State comes down. They get fouled. They have a chance. They blow the chance. They kind of get another one, and then they blow it. And it was just crazy.
It's so crazy to look back on now
because Auburn's in the Final Four now.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a bit. But yes, Auburn is in the Final Four. Great game. My favorite game, honestly, it's the team that defied the odds. It's the team that was disrespected coming into it. It's the team that we knew they were in this position last year. And rather than come into defeat like they were last year, they ended up winning. It's Virginia beating Gardner-Webb 71-56.
That was my favorite moment.
Because people forget, but they were down at halftime.
And yep.
To go from being 20 minutes away from being the only team in NCAA history to lose to a 16 seed 2 years in a row to making the Final Four, to me, is just incredible. It's just phenomenal.
I mean, no team has ever lost a game after losing to a 16 seed. Did you know that?
I know it now, thanks to you.
People forget the facts.
People don't understand it. Like, this is like people are out here disrespecting
Virginia. May never lose a tournament game ever again.
It's, I mean, show me the lie. Where is the lie? I can't find it. It's never been done before. Like, people forget.
They're trailblazers.
This Virginia team is making history. They have the possibility of becoming the only team in NCAA history to win the national championship after losing to a 16 seed the year before.
God, that's incredible.
Incredible. Tyler, let's move forward to the second round. What was your favorite game and what was your favorite moment of the second round?
Let's see. Favorite game? Looking through these.
I mean, we got to have the same answer here.
I think we got to have the same answer in that it was the Duke-UCF game.
Right? It was Taco and Zion. Become Taco and Zion. It kind of just became UCF's perimeter play superior to a Duke team that, honestly, we can say it now, really poorly coached.
They weren't a good team. They had great players. They weren't a good team.
They were pretty poorly coached. I know that's kind of blasphemous in some circles, but Coach K didn't really do much coaching, did he?
No. I mean, like, it's so funny is that, like, Duke is like an NBA team playing a bunch of college basketball teams, and a lot of times that'll get them very far. But in this situation where strategy and like offensive and defensive sets like will matter, they come up short. Which I mean, they almost didn't. Like, but they almost came up short here. They almost came up short the next game. They did come up short, and then a game after that.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, I think another really great game.
Yeah,
was the Iowa Tennessee game.
The one that, this is the game that went into this is the game that Iowa had the comeback on, right?
Yeah, it had 25-point comeback to go to overtime, and then they lost. But that was just incredible to see.
Yeah, it was very nice.
No team has come back from 25 points before,
and they also almost did.
Additionally, you know, it was an interesting moment was Villanova like losing in the second round.
Was it
doing exactly what I said that they would do a year after those ungrateful bastards?
Yes, a year after when they lose, I think it's 3 NBA draft picks.
Tomato, just details. All right. Details. Extraneous details.
I'm going to move forward to the best moment of the round, and I'm going to be real with you. I have two of them. One of them happened in your hometown, Jacksonville, Florida. And it was LSU Maryland, and it was the last second layup by one of the LSU players. I forget his name. I was texting
Tremont Waters.
Tremont Waters. Yeah, I was texting my cousin about it, and it was like, "Oh, my cousin went to LSU." I was like, "Oh my god, that game-winning layup was great." And also, unfortunately for me, it was Kentucky beating Wofford 62-56. Tyler, I had
also in Jacksonville.
I allegedly had a 17 parlay that would allegedly pay me out more than like $145, $150. And I allegedly got 6 of the games right, and I allegedly lost it because allegedly I took Wofford plus 4.5 points. And because Wofford fouled at the end of the game and Kentucky hit those free throws, I allegedly lost my bet.
Allegedly, of course.
So
that is tragic.
It was allegedly a bad moment for me, but it's one of the moments of the tournament, in my opinion.
That's confirmed. There's no allegedly about that.
No allegedly about that. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's your moment of the second round, my friend?
I think my moment is Iowa coming back.
That OT.
Like, that just being – it's an historic thing that no team has come back from 25 points to tie it up, like, in the tournament before.
Agreed.
So that was huge.
Let's move to the Sweet 16. Tyler – let's have your Sweet 16 game that you thought was the best one, your favorite one.
So the crazy things is that these were all really good games.
So I was going to say this. This is the moment in the tournament where every game, for the most part, is a really good game. Like, in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8, both of these rounds, like, those 4 days last weekend was phenomenal for basketball. It was great.
I will have to say, let's see. My favorite game, it's probably the Purdue-Tennessee game.
Yeah, I was going to go with that one.
That was another, I think, was that another overtime game?
It was another overtime game, yes.
Yeah, and that was just crazy because just, I mean, Ryan Klein could not miss, and Tennessee played really hard, and it was just, it was weird because it was such an incredible last, like, 5 minutes of regulation.
Right.
And, I mean, Tennessee just kind of ran out of steam in the end, in overtime. But it was a great game, very competitive. I watched it with my roommates, and we were just like, they were putting up shots, and we're just like, that's not going to go in. And it went in every single time.
Well, I have a – we can talk about shots that you don't think are going to go in when we talk about a certain Elite Eight game, but we'll get to that in a moment. My game of the Sweet 16 was – I'm going to go with Duke, Virginia Tech. And, again, Duke, by the skin of their teeth, man, just – getting through it, another rim out, another ball that if the, if it just goes in, they are sent to overtime or they lose, and it was crazy. Now, I also want to go shout out. My moment was Auburn playing some basketball against North Carolina, even after one of their players got hurt.
That was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. It was an incredible thing to see. Anything else in the Sweet 16, or do you want to move on to the Elite Eight?
My moment was Texas Tech holding Michigan to 44 points.
Yo, Texas Tech is a...
They're incredible.
I have some opinions, and I'll have to share them with you when we get to the Final Four preview.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I agree, I agree. Let's go to the Elite Eight. We had four games in the Elite Eight. We had Duke, Michigan State, Virginia, Purdue, Auburn, Kentucky, Gonzaga, Texas Tech. I think we can agree the game of the round was, and arguably the game of the tournament, was Virginia Purdue.
That game, yeah, that's the one. That's, I think that kind of encompasses pretty much like everything.
Yeah, is and it's, his name is Cassius Winston, right?
No, that's the Michigan State player.
Oh, that's Michigan State player. So who am I?
It's Carson Edwards.
Carson Edwards, that's what it was. Carson Edwards,
45 points. Oh my lord!
45-piece,
and that's incredible.
And he was pulling up from Curry range.
Which, real quick, we'll talk about Steph Curry later. There's something.
Oh yeah, no. Well, that's my moment of the week, but sure.
Okay, yes. We'll get back to that later. Anyway, yeah, that was incredible, and I think this game also had, I would say, the moment, of that round,
yeah,
where Virginia intentionally misses the free throw and swings it back in, and then they just hit that little layup right as time expires to tie it up and go to overtime.
See, my moment of the round was the moment right after that when the player from Virginia who hit that and Carson Edwards share a little bit of a laugh. They like had a joke, and Carson Edwards was like, "Man, I can't believe you hit that." And he was like, "Real recognize real," and they both laughed it off. I love that in a moment so high pressure and so intense like that, they were able to just find some humor in it and just realize that these players are just as big fans as we are, if not bigger. And when you see something like that, you just gotta acknowledge it and respect it. So
It's still a game.
It's still a game. Yes.
It's supposed to be fun.
Yes. Michigan State Duke finished 68-67 to Michigan State. And I think the story here is that RJ Barrett, really bad down the stretch. Really, really bad down the stretch.
Very bad.
I was listening.
Actual bad. Actual cheeks.
I was listening to One Shining Podcast, and they were ranting about how the game plan this year was basically like Zion do everything, and you cannot do that and expect to win. You know, Zion is but a mere human. As godly as we think he is but a mere human.
He is. I mean, like basically. I mean, Duke doesn't really have much of in the way of strategy regarding that. They're just like, Zion, go out talent everybody.
Yeah, play ISO, be Zion.
And that only gets you so far. I mean, it can get you pretty far.
Right. But you know what does?
Got them so far.
You know what? You know what does get you really far?
Being a good team and good coaching.
But specifically, being the best defense in the KenPom era. And that's what Texas Tech is, my friend. They beat Gonzaga 75-69. Nice.
That was crazy. Like, yes.
Was it? But here's the thing. Was it really crazy?
I mean, not really. It was just one of those things that I really thought Gonzaga had the lead for most of the game, And then you look up at the end and Texas Tech took the lead. Mm-hmm. And then they just pull it out. And you're just kind of sitting there. And it's just like, I didn't really see this coming from Texas Tech. I'm not surprised that it came. Mm-hmm. But like, because I knew that they were good.
Right.
But I was just like, they're not going to be Gonzaga. Which, now, I mean.
Texas Tech to me reminds me of the 2015 Florida football team in terms of if we were to get the lead, it was over. Because the defense is so good. But if they don't, then they're going to have trouble clawing back and struggle coming back into it. But, I mean, Hey, they did it. And they once they took that lead in the last 3 minutes, I think, That was it. That was it. They were winning.
They're a really good team.
Yeah, they really are. The next game, the fourth game of the Elite Eight, was Auburn-Kentucky. Auburn won 77-71. Did you know, Tyler, Auburn is the only team to beat Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky back-to-back-to-back?
I did not know that. That's interesting. Like, It's weird because, I mean, where else in a situation would you ever be in that situation to play all those three?
The tournament, yeah.
But that is, like, it's a crazy accomplishment when you just sit down and, like, think about it.
Mm-hmm. Granted, they got Kansas in a down year. They got hot.
They destroyed North Carolina.
Yeah, they away from North Carolina couldn't defend the three-point shooting. And then in Kentucky, it was a team that they knew. They've played them. They had played them three times already that year.
Yeah.
So, crazy.
That's crazy.
All right,
I can't believe that Auburn made it to the Final Four.
Neither can I. Well,
it's just like, again, going into the tournament, I just would not have been able to see that.
You know what's wild with Auburn? If they call that foul, yes, but if they call that foul on Nembhard at the end of the game and he hits those three free throws, we go to overtime, who knows what happens? They don't win the tournament. I don't think that they end up beating New Mexico State. They almost lost to New Mexico State, and then they
You don't even need to go down that rabbit hole. Just go down the rabbit hole at New Mexico State.
That's true.
They could have lost in the first round.
The tournament.
Despite how hot they were playing in the SEC tournament. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, that is a little wild to me. Man, the tournament is awesome.
There's a reason it's called what it is.
March Madness.
Like,
quote unquote March Madness. Don't sue us. Allegedly.
We're not allowed to say that, though.
Yeah, allegedly March Madness. Yeah.
March Mayhem.
This can only work with basketball, in my opinion. I think it's too. Basketball is a perfect sport for this type of thing.
Yeah, and basketball is so player oriented, where just crazy things can happen. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that the sport is designed. It kind of lends itself to this style tournament being as popular as it is.
Right.
So I would agree with that.
All right, Tyler. Here's what I'm going to give you 5 minutes to just go ahead and go off. Why was it a bad idea to pick Duke for the national championship? And talk to me about Zion. What is Zion's legacy? What's next for him?
I think it was a bad idea to pick Duke for a national championship because, like, kind of what I said, it's like they had the best players, but they weren't the best team. Mm-hmm. And they could kill so many teams with that, like, just let Zion do his thing. But what I kind of said is that you have to win a national championship, you have to win 6 games back to back against good teams. At the bare minimum, good teams. Bad teams don't really make it into this tournament. You have to be at least average to good to make it into this tournament, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you have to win 6 games back-to-back against good teams, sometimes great teams. Mm-hmm. And Duke is a team full of freshmen. It is a team that's been great all year. But to ask them to win a national championship is to ask Zion to be 100% at everything every single night. For six straight games against good teams. And we saw that, like, even though he is constantly contributing and he usually does give everything he can, what happens when when one of his teammates just doesn't, when RJ Barrett just doesn't show up? Because that happens to everybody in basketball. And, like, when RJ Barrett doesn't show up, and then what happens, like, these other teams are just schematically, like, putting everything they can into beating these teams from in, because they know that they can't out talent them, so they have to outthink them. Right. And I just I just felt that asking Zion to be the 30-point machine for six straight games against good teams was too much to ask one player.
Mm-hmm. In retrospect, I have to agree with you, but hindsight is 20/20.
I mean, I joke about being crazy and to pick Duke for national championship, but I get it. Like, I wasn't going to, but I get why people, because it, like, it's just, you look at them and you watch them play when Zion's healthy and you're just like, how can teams stop this?
I don't even think it's a looking at them, watching them play. It's watching Zion. It's just watching Zion. You saw him in the regular season and you saw things. You saw his game against Virginia on the road. You saw how, when he came back against North Carolina, you in the tournament, when you saw his first game against Syracuse back where he went 17 for, he was perfect from the field. I don't know if it was 17 or 15. But like, you just thought, this man can do it. This man can carry this all the way through. And clearly, we were wrong.
Not to take anything away from him, though. He's a great player.
Oh,
great
phenomenal. Season. The number one overall pick. He's going to be a stud in the league for years to come. And we're very excited to see where he goes next. Tyler, that's all I want to talk about for what's happened in the tournament already. Let's go ahead back into tweets we've shared, and then we'll talk about the Final Four on the other side of the break. Sounds good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, my man. What is your favorite tweet that I shared with you this week?
There is a tweet that you shared with me from Barry McCockner, which is at Sports Talk Barry, mm-hmm. that is, quote, "What is your argument for why college athletes shouldn't get paid?" End quote. And then it says me, and then it shows the video of the Virginia Tech player like being up at the basket, and like all he needs to do is tip the ball and just tip it in, and it goes, it just goes out.
I would like for the record to show that when I sent you that, I think I said I don't agree with this, but this is hilarious.
Oh no, I'm the same way. Like I'm, yeah, cool, I'm cool. But it, like again, it's like the college kickers thing. It's like how can, it's like the movement about college kickers where it's like, how can you be asked to do this one thing and be terrible at it at a college when you're giving a scholarship to do it?
Right.
Like, it's kind of, it's one of those jokes.
Right, exactly. And I loved it. I thought it was phenomenal.
I thought it was great.
For the record, the official sideline judgment position is pay the players.
Yes.
Or at least let them make money off of their own image. At the very
figure
least.
It out. Figure it out.
Get it together. Wonderful. All right, my favorite tweet that you shared with me, it may not be the favorite, but it's definitely a tweet that I want to take a couple minutes to talk about. It is at WMBB News 13. They tweeted and they said, FSU football announced earlier today that they will be playing Georgia in a home-and-home series. The Bulldogs will be coming to Tallahassee for the home opener of 2027 season, and the Seminoles will go to Athens for the 2028 season. Are you excited? Number one, I'm not excited. Why would you ask that? Number two, it's the comment that you said, and you said, is there a way for both of these teams to lose?
It said, is there a way for two teams to lose the same football game? That's how I feel about that.
I want to watch this game. This is 2027, 2028, so that means this is...
That's in 9 years.
So 9 years?
Eight, whatever, 9 years.
I'm almost 23, so I'll be like 31, 32. I want to be at that point, be able to sit my child down, look at the TV, and I'll say, look at this. You see those two teams? We don't like either of these teams. We will never like either of these teams. And I hope that you enjoy this 5 overtime game that we're about to watch, and we can make fun of them for the rest of their lives.
I hope so too.
That's what I want.
Man, like, I'm gonna hate watching this because I'm gonna watch it, but like I'm gonna hate doing it. Like,
sit little mini Sergio down on my lap and say, we don't like these teams. Or I'm gonna say, we hate these teams. But Papa, you said we can't use the word hate. I know exactly what I said. And I said we
did
hate
these teams.
Did I stutter? Go full Stanley on pretzel day. No, but seriously, and here comes the question. After hearing this announcement, given that they are two of our four biggest rivals, and I'm including LSU and Tennessee in those four, given that they're two of our four biggest rivals, and I would say two of our biggest rivals, the two biggest rivals, right?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, yeah. The two biggest rivals.
Definitely
we have.
Two. I think at this point they're 1A, 1B. To me, mm-hmm. It used to be FSU 1, Georgia 2, but I think it's 1A, 1B now. For me,
yeah.
because both programs are on the rise and the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years of these games, given that Kirby Smart stays, and I'm not even entertaining the fact that Dan Mullen could ever leave. So given the fact that Kirby Smart stays at Georgia, like he's not allowed. Like there's a ransom clause in his contract. He knows that.
100%.
Given that, it's how does UF build up its out of conference schedule? And Neil Blackman, wonderful, wonderful Neil Blackman, tweeted something like, do you realize that Florida's schedule this year includes Miami, University of Miami, neutral site, FSU on the road, Georgia, neutral site, LSU at home or on the road?
It's on the road.
LSU on the road?
But the FSU game is actually at home because it was on the road last year.
Oh, that's right. FSU home, LSU road, and Auburn on the road? Do you realize
Auburn is at home too? Auburn but home? Regardless, like,
do you realize that that's the schedule that we're playing? Like, we don't need extra. Although I would like to see more matchups. I would like to see us play. There was an argument that said if FSU can play Georgia, why can't we play Clemson? And I would love to see that. I know Tyler would be a little bit torn, but hopefully
not. No, I wouldn't.
Thank God. Oof.
My dad always makes fun of this. He's like, oh, I guess you love Clemson now. And I'm like, I like Clemson because we never play them. If we did play them, I'd root for us. But like,
that's how I feel.
I mean, I'd root for the Gators because like that's my team.
That's literally my approach to FAU. Like, I have a soft spot in my heart for FAU and I want them to do good. But, and this has happened before when FAU plays UF, I'm definitely going for UF.
Yeah.
So that's the thing where I would love to see it, but technically our schedule doesn't need it. And it was wonderful to see. Scott Strickland go out and tweet, and he actually tweeted and he said it's very difficult to find high quality home and homes before the 2027, 2028 years, which is why this FSU Georgia agreement is taking place now. But we are looking at some marquee neutral site non-conference games. And that's what I like to see. Like, I want to see transparency. I want him to say, look, we can't schedule those games that you want for the next 6, 7 years. It's going to be in the next like 8 or 9. So I want you to take initiative and schedule those games. But then B, in the meantime, he said, you know, high quality opponents on neutral sites, which is what I like. Something like the Miami game this coming year, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. I like the transparency because it's like, sometimes the brutal truth is that there just isn't a way for it to work. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just not a way for us to schedule some teams sometimes. People's schedules are put out so far in advance.
As evidence that in April of 2019, we are getting announcements for two games in 2027 and 2028.
Yeah, I mean, like, there might just not be spots for this
to happen. I hope to have a child by then. Like that, and I don't think I'm crazy in thinking that.
That's like 6 years away. If you're not crazy. No, that's more than 6 years away. It's like 9 years away.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hope to have that by then.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot that happens in life in that time.
Think of where you were 9 years ago. At that moment in time, non-conference games were being scheduled for this season.
Good Lord.
Right?
I was, oh my gosh.
I was in middle school. I was finishing middle school, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want to think about that.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a defender in the fact that like Florida doesn't really need to go out of their way to like, I like it and it's good, but Florida doesn't really need to have to go out of their way to schedule these high profile games.
Right.
Should they? Probably. But again, I'm also kind of in this situation where like, does it give you any advantage? We don't need to boost up our schedule.
I agree, but I want to. I want to be able to watch these big marquee games with these teams. I want it. As a fan, I want it. And take my Florida fandom out of it. As it's just a college football fan, I want it.
And I'm the same way. I'm 100% going to be excited when these games happen. I'm just kind of in the boat where I'm like, I don't get why people complain as much as they do.
Maybe not this game, these two games in particular.
Oh, not this one, but it's like, how are you going to watch FSU Georgia? Because I'm like, any bad thing that happens to one team is just a good thing happening to the other team.
I'm going to watch it with half a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Half? Just half?
Per half. So
just half?
A full bottle, half per half.
gotta,
when Georgia, you know, when Georgia scores, drink. When FSU scores, drink.
You got to empty out the whole cabinet for that.
Tyler, you and I might have to bring our bottles, sit down and watch this game together, and just hope that our future spouses and children are understanding of our misery.
Yes. That's how it's going to have to be.
That's how it's going
to
go.
This,
all right.
This product is going to have to be taken in.
Yes, that's the consumption of this content. All right, let's go ahead and move forward. That has been Tweets We've Shared. A return of Tweets We've Shared. We haven't done it in the past couple times that we've been on.
It's good to be back.
Good to be back. All right, let's talk about these two Final Four games. All right, first up, we got Auburn and Virginia. That will be Saturday, April 5th. That's tomorrow. That game is at 6:09 p.m. Can we pause for a second? And what is with the super precise tip-off times?
Well, they're never accurate anyway, so I don't know. I never understand this 09 thing. It's like, I mean, it's like how things are like $3.99 instead of being like just $4.
It's,
but there's an actual reason for that.
Can I tell you why?
It's like 6:09.
Do you know it? Do you know why?
I think I've heard it once, but
it's because psychologically, if people look at that first number rather than the last number. So if they see $3.99, people are more inclined to think it's $3 rather than $4.
Oh yeah, no, I understand that.
And I think the same thing applies.
Same thing applies here.
So like, if you say 6:09, they really mean 6:10, but they're telling you that, so you just think, oh, it's at 6:00.
That makes sense.
So you get there early and are able to watch it.
But why not actually have it at 6:00?
That's. Listen, I have this argue. This is a big struggle. U.S. soccer does this all the time too. They go, the game is at 8, but the game's really at 8:17 because at 8 they do the pregame show and they want you to watch the pregame show.
This is like how in theaters, like, they always hold the house. But it's like if they put it on the ticket, like, we're going to hold house like 6 minutes. So it's right. Actually starting at 7:36.
Exactly. Instead of 7:30 curtain, we're starting
at 7:30. Why would you say that, though? Yeah. Like, anyway.
Virginia Auburn. This is a Virginia team that plays old school basketball, great defense, going up against Auburn, who are looking like the great value version of the Golden State Warriors.
The well-seeing version.
The great eyesight version. The Publix brand Golden State Warriors. We can just keep going. We can just
continue all over the place.
Yes.
But so yeah, it's two teams that play completely different styles, which is good because it's nice to see that. What is going to be interesting though is that I feel like there's a high percentage chance, I think more so than the other game in the Final Four, I think there's a really high percentage chance that either of these teams could just run away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really sure if I see this being a close game.
In either direction.
Either direction. I think if Auburn's successful, that means they're just going to be jacking up threes and Virginia's not really going to have the ammunition to keep up with that.
Right.
Or Virginia's just going to completely stifle them. Mm-hmm. And Auburn's not really known for their defense and Virginia's going to like just penetrate through that. And Virginia's a hard team to come back on. Because mm-hmm. their defense is so good,
right?
So I feel like that's part of the thing with two completely different styles, mm-hmm. is that if one of them succeeds and the other one can't cope, and I love to see that from a strategical in like analytical view, mm-hmm. but I think that that's going to mean that one of these two teams is going to run away with it.
So if you had to pick, then which team do you think runs away with it? I'm going to assume you're going to go with Virginia.
I think Virginia is going to win.
Mm-hmm. I'm also going to go with Virginia.
Virginia's my national championship pick and won me the bracket. So like,
I don't think you've said
won
that
me
enough.
The bracket. So
I don't think
to,
you've said that
I
enough times. That. I don't think you've said that enough times on the pod, or I don't think you've texted me enough times that either.
You know, I got to space it out. I can't text you like every single day.
I see.
Like right before on Saturday, right before they play, I'm going to be like, hey, you know, I can't wait to see Virginia play. By the way, you know, we should check the bracket, see how it's doing, or something like that.
I don't know
if anyone's know, but I've changed my Twitter bio as well.
I did not want you to do that, but sure. I can't wait for next year for me to be right on whatever it is that I pick, and I can just not. I can A, remove that from your bio, and B, insert it in my bio, and C, insert it in the sideline judgment. You know what you should do? You should insert it into the sideline judgment bio. Tyler is
officially better.
Yes, you should. It should be a thing where the winner of whatever happens that year gets to have it in the bio for the following year.
I like that. We're gonna have to institute that.
Unfortunately, I do. I am supporting this claim of yours. Yes, I do like Virginia in this game. I think this game is gonna be a coming out party for Kyle Guy, for people who don't know who Kyle Guy is. We know who Kyle Guy is because we watch college basketball, but he's been kind of quiet throughout the whole tournament. So the average fan, the everyday just kind of popping in every March fan, doesn't really know who he is. And they didn't get a chance to last year because, I don't know if you knew this, but Virginia lost to a 16 seed last year. So, yeah.
I, unlike other people, did not forget.
Never forget. The North remembers. Virginia remembers. No. UMBC remembers. UMBC.
House Wahoo remembers.
UMBC remembers.
They definitely remember. UMBC Twitter guy remembers.
Yes, he does. So that's my thing. I think Kyle Guy's going to have a good game. And I think Virginia was actually able to get a blueprint of that 3-point shooting when they beat Purdue, because Carson Edwards was going off. So I feel like they know what to expect. They're going to go in ready mentally. Tony Bennett knows what he's doing. He's a phenomenal coach. They'll get it done. I think they'll make it to the national title game as well. Shift gears. This game, it's tipping off at 8:49 p.m. Tentatively, because it depends on the first game. Michigan State, Texas Tech. This is a game of Tom Izzo, who's been here before. The only coach. Oh, we should also point out that this is the first Final Four for both Auburn and Texas Tech. This is the first Final Four since 1985, since for Virginia. And this is the 17th Final Four in the last 30 years for Michigan State. Some ridiculous number. That's not the real number, but you know what I mean.
But they haven't been in a while.
They haven't, but Tom Izzo's been, and he knows exactly what's going on. So that's kind of the challenge here, where a great hard-nosed defensive team that honestly is just happy to be there, going up against Tom Izzo, who will not stop until he gets the title. Although it did look like when they beat Duke, they were just very happy of that, and it was kind of
like they are the chalkiest like program in this, like the most historical program in this Final Four,
right?
But we didn't expect this team to get there, so it is still a bit like new.
Exactly. What do you think about this game? So actually, can I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay, here's what I think is gonna happen. Michigan State, Texas Tech is gonna go out to an early lead. Michigan State's gonna cut that lead, but I think Texas Tech holds on to like a 4 to 6 point lead for the entire game. And then I think at the last few minutes, Tom Izzo is going to do some crazy coaching, and he's going to go ahead and get Michigan State to win a very close game. This is the better game of the two games, if we're being
honest. I would agree with that.
This is the better game. Part of me wants to allegedly make a bet on Texas Tech, allegedly, to win the entire national championship, allegedly. But I think Tom Izzo is going to go ahead, and I think we're going to see, For the sake of CBS, I think we're gonna see a Virginia Michigan State national championship game, which will draw in ratings. It'll be
for the sake of CBS.
It's the best scenario other than Zion.
Yeah.
You know? So
probably.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get Michigan State Virginia in the final. But I do think Texas Tech is gonna play a phenomenal game, where Texas Tech is gonna lose, and we're gonna look back and we're gonna say, yo, you remember that Texas Tech Final Four team? Kind of like how we talk about Steph Curry's Davidson run, and how you and I talk about the Patrick Young, Scottie Wilbekin Final Four run.
Yeah, it's gonna be a team that people remember.
It's a team, exactly. A team people remember. Yes.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm gonna go in the opposite direction. I think Texas Tech is gonna win this. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just gonna lock it down.
I'm like 53-47.
It's tough. Because I can see Michigan State winning it.
Mm-hmm. Because in a tournament, in a game like college basketball, the old adage of defense wins championships is actually true, because these players are they're college players. They're inconsistent. You know? We're not talking about
shooting is so inconsistent from night to night.
Yeah.
But defense, you can kind of control that. That's why,
exactly.
At least in the sport of basketball. Like,
mm-hmm. In the sport of college basketball.
Yeah.
In particular. So I'm 50-50 with you. I may flip-flop before this game tips off, I don't know. But for right now, I think there's a certain, how do I put this? You shouldn't discredit someone who's been there before, and you shouldn't discredit the most experienced person in the Final Four, and that's Thomas.
That's fair.
It's like when we talk about, are you really going to bet against Nick Saban when he has a month to prepare?
You shouldn't.
No, you won't, because I won't let you.
I mean, I don't. You're 100% correct. But at the same, I mean, yeah. But at the same time, that like Texas Tech has the greatest defense in the KenPom era.
I know, which goes back to 2002 for those who don't know that.
That's pretty impressive too. I can totally see where you're coming from. I think we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one.
But even then, I don't think I want to agree with my own thing. Like, I kind of want to jump on the Texas Tech thing because defense is so like.
Get your own wagon.
I'm talking myself into it, Tyler. No, you know, well, what? You know what? Let's be unanimous. Let's go Virginia, Texas.
Let's do it. Virginia. Okay, Virginia,
let's
Texas Tech.
Let's do it. Let's be unanimous. This final.
The final?
Yes, Virginia, Texas Tech. What are we working with here?
I mean, you know where I'm going to go.
Virginia?
I'm going Virginia. Because I think in that situation, Texas Tech feels very kind of like Team of Destiny as well. Like they do feel like, not as much as Auburn, but it's like, it's the first Texas Tech team to ever get to this point. Mm-hmm. And Virginia's been there before, not in forever. But I do feel like in that situation, I am going to take Tony Bennett. I'm going to take the fact that they both play a very heavy defense style. But Virginia, I mean, I know Texas Tech is statistically better at it, but I think Virginia is more comfortable in who they are. Because Chris Weir's only been at Texas Tech for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I feel like Virginia has a little bit, like Virginia has more offensive weapons. Texas Tech has Jarrett Culver, who's awesome. But
you're right. You're right.
Virginia has more weapons that I feel like their team coalesces better. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Virginia in that game. And also because I want to be right.
I'm going to agree with you with all of the reasons you said, except for the one that I want you to be right. I am going to agree with you on that. All right. That's it. That's the tournament.
We did it.
No more college basketball till October after this.
And it's just like college sports in general. It's just like,
well, we got baseball, my man.
We got baseball and we got softball. So that
baseball and softball.
And I'm going to be here in Gainesville for summer A.
Nice.
So for a couple weeks, and there's going to be baseball games. So I'm just going to go spend my weekends that way.
Honestly, nice. Not a bad way to do it.
No, it'll be nice to like just go and kind of like relax and just like be there.
Just kind of absorb it, take it in. I may be going to a minor league baseball game on Monday. I know that's the night of the national championship game, but I've been wanting to go for a while, and it's my last three weeks here in Charleston, so it's my only opportunity.
No, you should go.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go.
Yeah, there's national championship games every year.
Yes. I only live in Charleston once, so. Yeah, all right, my man. With that being said, excuse me, my voice. It's time for our official moment of the week, and I have two. One is very somber. I want to say just rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. He's a rapper from the LA area. He was shot in front of his own store. For those of you who don't know, he not only was a rapper, but he was very involved in the LA community. He's a former Crips gang member, a reformed Crip member, who actually ended up kind of setting up an organization and being to help reform gang members when they come out of prison to kind of just change their life and do better for them. He was very much investing in different urban development, housing projects, and different things in LA to help his community out. So not only did we lose a great artist and a good rapper, and I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan of his music beforehand, but it's
to
not
see
because
a person that's so influential like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
like,
not that
pass away like that is
right.
It's just it's terrible.
And it's not that I didn't like his music. It's that I just didn't listen to it as much. And now I've been going back and I was like, oh, wow, he's a really good artist. But above all that, he was a great person. And just goes to show you that when people say people never change, that's who they are. They show you their true colors. I disagree. I think people can always change. And he's the prominent example of that. He was trying to help other people. He changed and he was trying to help others just so they can better their life and better their families. So RIP to Nip. And in response to that, his set with the Crips was set 60. So Russell Westbrook dropped the second ever 20-20-20 game in NBA history. That only happened one other time in history, and that was in 1967. Russell Wilt Chamberlain did it. And he did it specifically for Nipsey Hussle. Russell Westbrook, obviously from the LA area, from Crenshaw, affiliate, you know, that was his friend, that was his boy, and they knew each other from from that area. And so he went out and did 20-20-20, 20-20-20, adds up to 60, 60 being Nipsey Hussle's set with the Crips. So yeah, so a touching tribute from Russ. That's my first moment of the week, RIP Nip. Second of all, Steph Curry got contacts this week, which means...
which implies...
he's been blind.
He needed them.
He's needed glasses. His entire career,
the greatest shooter ever, is blind.
I tweeted today. This is like, we let this story come and go in the course of a day, and this is the greatest athletic achievement in our lifetime.
How can you be that good at being accurate and be blind? This is like, okay. Nerding out here for a second.
Go ahead.
There's a comic book. There's a Marvel comic book called Old Man Logan. It's an alternate universe thing. But in it, it's like set like 60 years in the future, and the world's a wasteland and everything. But Hawkeye, the archer character, yeah, superhero, is old, but he's like blind, but he's still like an amazing archer somehow. He's like Daredevil, where he can like still sense everything. Uh-huh. Is that what being Steph Curry is like?
First of all, I think being Steph, I don't know, man. It's not fair.
I don't know how to deal with this.
So Steph was literally looking at the rim and be like, it'll go in.
Yeah, if I just get it like around there, it should be fine.
That makes the half-court buzzer beater in overtime against OKC in 2016 just look so much crazy.
That's incredible. So on top of just being incredible, like an incredible shooter, he's just got to be lucky as hell.
I don't think it's luck. I just think he's that good, dude.
It's like he's a superhero and that's his like one weakness, but he's able to overcome it.
And like, now he's found something that can prevent that.
It's like in the second movie of like whatever trilogy it's in, and he's found like his ultimate version, and he's got to like fight the bad guy. Like,
this is the equivalent of, and I'm gonna put it in your terms here, Marvel terms. This is the equivalent of Thor never ever ever having his hammer and then being as good, and then receiving his hammer. I know this didn't happen.
It's funny that
you
say that. I know it never happened. Something like that happens in a Thor movie.
Right, exactly.
Or basically, what's like, just to say it, it's just like, he loses his hammer, and then they're like, you know that you've had these like super intense lightning powers the whole time. You've just been forgetting that you can use them because you have your hammer.
Yeah.
So then he like becomes like a literal storm. And you're kind of like, where was this the whole time? this is exactly that.
Incredible.
He needed to be blind to understand, to realize his true potential.
You know what's crazy? That like, that's as if Steph Curry was in Space Jam 2 and the Monstars took his vision and he was like, nah, I don't need it. I'm good. That's what this feels like.
Yo, if that is not made a part of the new
Space
Jam movie,
it has to be now.
It has to be part of it.
Oh, man. All right, Tyler, what's your moment
of the
week?
That's incredible. My moment of the week, this is something for you, Sergio.
Ah, thank you. What is this?
There was some new signage outside the Miami Heat Stadium, the arena. I'm not going to read every single thing
because I've already cried about it.
Yeah, but there's basically a bunch of new signage outside of the arena about Dwayne Wade that is all just a tribute to him and all that he's done for them. It's a lot of like, he's a 3-time champ, and like he put the 3 in Big 3, blocked more shots than any guard ever, led the NBA in points, and then they have like a little stat underneath it. But it's paired with all these pictures of him, and it ends with him just being like, and treated us to one last dance, and he's in his Miami Vice jersey.
The black one when he hit the buzzer beater against the Warriors. Yeah.
Yep.
I know which one.
It's just a nice moment from the Heat about his legacy.
Dwayne Wade is the franchise leader in points, assists, rebounds, and steals. And blocks. No, not
That's
blocks,
crazy.
Not blocks. In blocks?
He's blocked more shots than any other guard.
Yeah, well, he's the NBA leader in terms of guards blocking shots, but he's the franchise leader. He's the franchise leader in points, assists, rebounds, and one other stat. It's either steals or blocks. Listen, it got dusty in my room real quick. That's my guy.
His last dance,
that's
man.
My guy. That's my guy.
The greatest Dwayne player Wade, in Heat history.
The greatest player in Heat history. And I think it's time we start discussing him as the greatest athlete in South Florida history. I know Dan Marino's up there, but right, I think right now it's Marino. But if we're being real, I don't know, man. Wade's up there. Wade's definitely top three. It's going to be tough. Tuesday night is his last home game. Hopefully we make the playoffs. We're a half game out of the eighth spot against Orlando, behind Orlando.
Y'all going to lose out on a playoff spot to Orlando?
No.
Can't be letting that happen.
No, that was a wrench. That came out of nowhere for me, man. You got me. You hit me.
Yeah, I knew it would, but yeah, just that's me. Just for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You got to feel the pain to get to a happier place.
Let me tell you what. I've cried two times in relation to sports. And it was the first time was when the U.S. was eliminated by Portugal, by
Trinidad and Tobago.
No. Oh, so three times. When the U.S. was eliminated by Belgium in the 2014 World Cup because of the Wando miss. And I was like, if we made that, we would have moved on. But we didn't. So I cried that day. I cried the day of Trinidad.
Just blocked that one out. You didn't want to think about that one.
I have permanently removed that. I have permanently removed that from my brain.
I have had that back in there now.
I have Men in Black had that wiped away from my brain. Thanks for that. And then I also cried. I remember I was working in Flat Rock, North Carolina. It was like July 5th or something. July 6th or something, and it was, I came home from doing a production of The Music Man. I walk into the house. I asked, hey, does anybody need the TV? They said no, so I turned it on because I knew that there was some NBA stuff I wanted to catch up on. So I turned the TV on, and when I turned it on, it says breaking news, Dwayne Wade signs for the Chicago Bulls. And I remember sitting there for 10 minutes, silence, turned the TV off, took my clothes off, jumped in the shower, and I was washing my hair, and I was just overcome with emotion, and I bawled in the shower. I bawled in the shower. It was like a rom-com. I bawled in the shower. Yeah. I have a strong feeling Tuesday night, I'm going to come home. I'm going to watch these highlights. If I don't watch the game live, I don't know if I can or not. I'm going to watch the highlights of the ceremony. I'm going to take a shower, and I'm going to bawl in the shower. It's going to be rough.
It's only fair. It's only fair.
Listen, man, no other athlete in Miami history has ever done more for the community. Not necessarily the community, but done more for the city, done more for the area. And he turned South Florida into a Miami town. Into a basketball town.
Yeah,
he turned South Florida into a basketball town. South Florida is a place that's dominated by high school football. Dominated by just so many other things, and he made people pay attention to basketball, and
it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's all about that Heat culture, and the greatest player in Miami history is going to close the chapter out. That's why I don't care when people are talking about like, oh, he's washed, or this farewell tour is too long. Like, I don't care. Give Wade what he wants. I'm also biased, though.
Yeah.
All right, my man. That's been it for. Excuse me, got the hiccups. That's been it for this week. Next week, and I hope it's next week. We should get back on schedule. We've been kind of
hopefully
in and out. We've been kind of all busy.
Over the place.
Sorry about that. Our next episode will have a brief review of the national championship game, and we will also begin our NFL draft coverage. We will begin
our draft coverage.
Tyler will hopefully be able to have a friend of the pod, poor Bucks fan Tyler Renfro on. Hopefully, we hope that can happen.
It's in the works.
It's in the works, and we will have basically what the Jags need to do in the draft and what the Dolphins need to do in the draft. Tyler, I'll give you a sneak peek. Whole lot of tanking.
Nice. Our sneak peek is just Nick Foles screaming, help, I need help. We got to get him some. Yeah. And the greatest thing about draft season, if you never forget this one thing, this is a PSA to everyone. Never forget this one thing, you'll never be disappointed. Never for one second believe that your team is incapable of making a stupid decision when it comes to drafting. If you remember that, then you won't be disappointed.
Everybody is capable of making a bad draft point.
Yep, exactly.
Good call.
Dude, literally, Bill Belichick built his empire on getting lucky with drafting.
But also butchering a lot of draft picks.
Oh, yeah, they're not great drafting. No, they just made one lucky pick.
Yes. All right. All right, my friend. This has been...
I didn't want to, like, bring it... I couldn't just let you have the Miami Wade stuff. I had to bring up the Patriots.
Thanks. Yeah, that's exactly what I needed.
It's about balance. It's about balance. Yeah.
Today I was... Oh, before we leave, so that I can be happy when we sign off. Did you see the new Jets uniforms?
Oof.
Basura.
They are not good.
They are basura.
And like for those of you that don't know, that means trash.
Trash. That means trash in Spanish. Yeah, I just had to bring it up. I didn't want to end it on something negative. I wanted to end it on something positive for me. So, ha 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 ha. This has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, but I guess go Virginia?
Yeah, I mean, go Wahoos.
Go Wahoos and
go Texas Tech.
Go Miami Humidity. Go Heat. Get me that playoff. Get me that playoff spot. Give me more Wade games.
This can't be Wade's last game.
Give me more Wade games. All right, bye.